Hello everyone, my name is Amanda Ostrander. I am a teacher turned homeschool mom, and this is the Raising A to Z Homeschool Podcast. And today I am doing part two of our question session. Last week I did part one where I started answering some of your questions you guys have submitted, but you guys had submitted so many that I had to come back and answer some more questions later. So here we go, part two of the questions that you guys asked. Ooh, so first question I got today is, what are some good beginner novels for kids ages 8 and up? Bonus if they are good for boys. Already have the Magic Treehouse. So my top recommendations, if you're looking for books that are kind of the next step up from kind of a Magic Treehouse, I've got a couple options for you. So the Canadian Flyer, this is like the Canadian version of Magic Treehouse. Instead of a treehouse, they have a red flyer toboggan. And when they sit on the toboggan, it takes them to different historical points in Canadian history. So for example, this one is about the Halifax explosion. And so it's not brother and sister, it's like two friends. Boy and a girl have to go through, it's partially illustrated. It is essentially the Canadian equivalent of Magic Treehouse. So that's an option. So the next one I have is the Dragon Master series. It is kind of more of a fantasy series. It's a little bit more exciting than like a Magic Treehouse, but it is still illustrated. It is, does still have the larger font, which means less words on a page, and it's not super, super long, but it's very high interest. And there are quite a few books in this series, so that's kind of nice as you have some options. If they get into it, you can keep going. My top recommendation is always The Bad Guys. This is a graphic novel. Do not discount graphic novels. They are incredible ways to get kids hooked into reading. They are a great way to have kids interested in reading so that they increase their vocabulary, because it is not the same vocabulary level. It does have the vocabulary is higher, but it's got less words, if that makes sense. So there's bigger and harder words, but there's less words in general, but it is a little bit longer. It is a graphic novel. There's like 20 of these, and they are super funny and super engaging. If you have a kid who is a struggling or reluctant reader, this is your go-to. They also have a new one from the same author, Cat. It's a cat one, but there's only one book in that series so far. So anyway, Alexi liked it, but anyway, Bad Guys. The Bad Guys series is fantastic. Another book that I highly recommend, Megabat. We read this when we did a nocturnal animal study last year, because it's about a bat and bats are nocturnal, right? There are three books in this series. The first one is The Megabat, and it's a really sweet book. It has some illustrations, it has some kind of a bit of a larger text. But it is like, it's a really sweet book about a boy who finds a bat and they become friends and the bat starts to talk. And they also, the bat loves Star Wars. Anyway, great book, super engaging. I didn't think my kids would like it as much as they did. But it's definitely like, even though my girls liked it, it's definitely geared towards boys. So great option, but anyone can like it. And then my next option would be kind of your Roald Dahl. Something that is kind of wacky and silly. Would be kind of your next step up. If you're going like up from Magic Treehouse, these would kind of be your next step. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, smaller font, which means there's more words on a page, but a lot of versions still have illustrations. They're highly entertaining because they are kind of so silly, but it does have more words. So that would kind of be your next step up. Fantastic Mr. Fox is also one. It is much shorter than Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It is also like much sillier, like in terms of like the fox is stealing and he's a little bit naughty, and it's a great book. And again, while it does have a bit of a smaller font, therefore more words on the page, it is quite illustrated depending on the version you get, and it's not overly long, but it's really funny. So those would be kind of my top recommendations for books for boys, but also like great books for anyone in general. I don't really think books are typically, I know there are books that are kind of more for girls. The other one I was going to suggest was Geronimo Stilton. Alexa reads the Thea Stiltons, which is the same author, same series, just they're a little bit more designed for girls. Like they have to go and like save the fashion show and stuff. But Geronimo Stilton is the same, but it's a more of an adventurer kind of series. And kids in general love the Geronimo Stiltons. You can often find them used at a used bookstore because there's so many and they're so popular. Highly recommend them. I personally don't like reading them because they are a little slow and they kind of like, I always want them to like get to the point. But kids love them. The other thing that annoys me about them is that sometimes they put like words in like fancy fonts, and that just irritates me when I'm reading. But really, Alexi thinks it's like the best thing ever when words are like emphasized by being in a different font. So what do I know, right? Great books. And really, as long as they're reading and they're happy reading, then that's kind of the point, right? So those are my recommendations. The next question is, are there conferences for homeschoolers that you can go and see all the different types of curriculum? Yes, there are definitely homeschool conferences out there. I would say there's like one per province and state in general. There's definitely probably about one per province, one per state. I will put a list of the Canadian ones that I know of down below. But yeah, there are different conferences. And when you go to a conference, it's kind of like a really cool thing. You pay for your weekend pass or whatever, and then there'll be like a whole bunch of like homeschoolers and experts and panels and people who are talking, speakers to listen to. There's that kind of thing. And then typically there is a vendors hall where representatives from different major homeschool curriculum companies come and basically do like an adult homeschool themed book fair. You'll have everything. I've been to some that are like massive and have like 40 different tables. So definitely a great option. If you can go to one, check one out. I know that's not always like physically feasible because a lot of them, you know, Canada's huge and can't always drive to the nearest one, but something to think about. And then you can also go to the Learning House in Toronto. You can order from them. They're one of the biggest online retailers in Canada for homeschool curriculum, but you can actually go to their store. I think they're one of the only in-person curriculum stores in Canada. So if you're ever in Toronto, you can stop in and like look through curriculum there as well. Next question, how do you find the right co-op? That's a good question. So when you're looking for a co-op, you need to decide what kind of co-op you're looking for. There's basically two kinds of co-ops in existence. One would be a super academic co-op, kind of similar to like a learning pod, but basically you're like meeting once a week. There's like a set structure for the day. Like, we're going to start with a read aloud. We're going to move into like, we use this curriculum. Parents are often like rotating through teaching a lesson. So you'll have to be responsible for a lesson, things like that. They tend to be very academic focused. Sometimes they'll like pick a curriculum and work their way through. Like, that is one option, the more academic option. The other option tends to be more like a social co-op. So really, the focus is more on like hanging out, meeting up. While you might plan an activity to do, or like you might even plan on going like to a field trip as like a group, because you get a group rate. The focus is not like to complete curriculum. It is not to like solely get more education for the kids. It is like more so to like build friendships and like have them just hang out and connect. So the important thing is to figure out what kind of co-op you're looking for. Because if you're looking for like a super academic co-op and you end up at a social co-op, you're going to be really unhappy. And vice versa. If you're looking for something just to hang out and it's like super like, this is what we do every single week. You now need to teach lessons. Like, you need to like entertain 20 kids for like 45 minutes. Like, if that's not going to work for you either. You do need to figure out what you're looking for. From my experience, the social co-ops tend to be more common. I think the academic co-ops tend to be more of an American thing. Because I don't hear about them too often in Canada. I hear like learning pods more often, where like people will like hire a teacher, or like parents will like rotate through who has the kids for the day. But in terms of like academic co-ops, that does tend to seem a little bit more of an American idea and more common in America than it does in Canada, just from my experience. Like, I don't personally know too many people who are like in super academic co-ops. Most of them that I like in our area, they're almost all social co-ops. I'm actually a member of two social co-ops. And so we get together, we hang out, we do plan an activity, we do plan a couple field trips here and there, but like our goal is just to like build connections and social time for our kids because we can do academics at home. So if once you figure out what you want, your next thing I would recommend is go to Facebook. I know some people who are not fans of social media, but I highly recommend Facebook, even if it's just for homeschooling, because I find that's where most homeschoolers are, whether it's a generational thing or whatever, whether it's, it's on Facebook. Sorry, guys. And so go to Facebook, go to your local homeschooling groups and see if anybody has co-ops, if anyone has groups that are meeting on a regular basis. We've brought people into our co-op this past year who are just like, hey, I'm in the area. Does anyone know a co-op? We're like, yep, you can come and you can come and you can come. And so we've like added, I think, 2 or 3 families to our co-op this year just from like them being local and nearby. And then if you really can't find what you're looking for, it's kind of a build it and they will come situation. I can't tell you how many parents are looking for a co-op and can't find one and then they give up, and really it's a field of dreams situation. If you build it, they will come. And I think people forget that you don't need that many people to have a co-op. You can build a co-op with only like 3 or 4 families. It's all about just getting together regularly and making connections. So if you have 2 or 3 families plus your own who want to get together on a regular basis, whether it's once a month or once a week, that's the start of a co-op. So try it out, build it. Like I said, you can meet at a park, you can meet at, you know, a different someone's house every time, and you know, you can plan on going to a field trip or meeting up at like a science center or whatever. Like, it's just get a couple people together and start meeting regularly, and you can build a co-op that way. The last question I want to answer is, what are some good preschool books and activities? So I think this is asking about home preschool curriculum, and I'm not a huge fan of curriculum for preschoolers unless they're like super keen. They're not ready for it. We like to think they are, but like science tells us they're not. So I like to start by talking about, when I think of preschool, I'm thinking of it as like habit building years. So your goal for preschool is to build good habits and to introduce them to things. Like literally that's the only goal. So when I'm talking about building good habits, it's time to build a good schedule. And by good schedule, I mean things that are going to happen on a regular basis. So for example, you might do like breakfast, a read aloud, where you're going to read them a story, a circle type thing where you might like, oh, like today is Monday. What's the weather outside? Oh, it's sunny. Is it cold? Is it hot? Is it spring? Is it summer? Oh, it's cold and it's winter. Okay. And what are we going to do today? Today we're going to go to the park later. I don't know. Right? That's what we're doing today. And then after your circle time, you might have like a little activity or a play thing. You know, maybe it's Play-Doh or a sensory bin. Maybe they're going to play blocks, whatever. Then it's lunch, nap. Then you maybe go outside, have dinner. Like, you're basically just trying to build a routine that can, while it's going to change and adjust as they get older, but you're starting to build in things like, oh, every morning we read a book. Before bed, we read a book. Oh, every morning we do kind of like a little activity, even if it's only 5 minutes of like a learning activity, like, oh, we're going to stack blocks or whatever, that kind of thing. Then I like to focus on getting kids to read books, not so much they read books, obviously they can't read books, but getting them used to reading on a regular basis. That is huge. Kids who are read to have bigger vocabularies, better spelling, better media literacy. They do better academically overall. So read to them. So get them used to reading books. Get them used to sitting on your lap or next to you and reading books. Getting them used to reading in the morning, reading before bed. Like, build in your reading into your routine so that becomes part of it every single day. Read, 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 read. And then if you want to focus on something else, focus on really simple, concrete math. And by simple concrete math, I mean things like colors. This is red. This is blue. This is yellow. You can also focus on things like shapes. You get at the very end, I would start numbers 1 to 10. directions. By directions, I don't mean like left and right. I mean like over, under, beside, that kind of stuff. And you can also do things like sorting, matching. That's all math. And then I would also add in things like seasonal changes, like seasons, weather, temperature. Oh, is it cold? Is it hot? Not necessarily reading a thermometer, but is it cold? Is it hot? Kind of stuff. And then we can definitely focus on activities that are going to do like fine motor, gross motor, creative. Those are kind of the three focuses that I would do. So fine motor would be things that are little. So that would be things like Play-Doh, kinetic sand, sensory bins, baking, mixing things, coloring, painting, anything little, pinching, grasping, those kinds of things. Large motor are like big movements. So that's running, jumping, skipping, getting them outside on a regular basis to move around. That's preschool. And then creative, giving them opportunities to get messy, which stresses a lot of parents out, but you gotta let them get messy. And so things like sensory bins, things that involve cutting, gluing, painting, and I will say not crafts. Not necessarily things that are like, oh, when it's done, it's gotta look like this. That is following steps. That's not actually being creative. Those are two different things. Like being more like, here is some paint, let's paint something. And let them see what they come up with. So those are definitely activities we can do on a regular basis. And then in terms of curriculum, if you're looking for curriculum, I'm not a huge fan of curriculum for that young of an age, unless your kids are like super keen on it and really want to. I know that sometimes if they have an older sibling who's doing something, they might want to do something similar. So in that case, you could pull out coloring books. You can get some really good curriculum out there that is like again, I would focus on math. I wouldn't even focus on letters, although a lot of them pre-K kindergartens do focus on letters. But you can definitely find some. You can find a lot even at the dollar store or like your local Chapters that has pre-K stuff. Definitely, like if you really, really wanted to, I wouldn't recommend it personally. The one thing I do want to remind you though, when you're looking at curriculum, if you really, really want some, is that a lot of curriculum, it comes from American-based companies and they're great, their aging system for like grades and stuff is different than ours. And so like in Ontario, we have 2-year kindergarten. In the States, pre-K is like age 4, which is our first year of kindergarten. So they're on a different, like kindergarten for them is like pre-K is age 4. K, kindergarten, is age 5. Grade 1 is age 6. And you, for a lot of places, you have to be that age before September. Before September starts or before school starts. Like that is the cutoff. Whereas here in like Ontario and Canada, we do 2 years of kindergarten. So our pre-K is usually age 3. And our K, which starts at 4, but you have to turn 4 before the end, before January. So, or December 31st. So like I have people that I know, like my sister is one of them. She was 3 for, she was born in December, all of September, all of October, all of November before she turned 4 in December. So just keep that in mind that like a lot of the pre-K curriculum you're going to see is actually designed for 4-year-olds and not 3-year-olds. Lots of things we can do with our pre-K kids. The other thing we want to do is just like expose them to as much things as possible. A lot of new things because everything in their world is new. Like that's the nice thing about like pre-K kids is that like everything is new. Puddles are new. Colors are new. When it snows, that's new. Building snowmen is new. Like everything is new. And so like introducing them to as many scenarios, situations, places, going to grocery stores, going to restaurants, going to theaters, if you can find kids like theater that you can take them to like see what it's like to sit in a chair, like all those kinds of things are the things that you can do when you're doing preschooling. and just exposing them to as many new things as possible, because that's how they're going to figure out what they like and what is interesting to them for real other than TV, because really that's going to be their only other influence on what they really like. So that is pre-K in a nutshell. If you want more, I think I have a video on pre-K, and I'll put that down below. That's the questions I have for today. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want more information and inspiration about homeschooling, make sure you are subscribed to the Raising A to Z Homeschool Podcast. And feel free to also follow me along on some of my social media platforms, such as Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram at Raising A to Z. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to talk with you guys next week.